Sloan, Moderim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my soulmate, Reverend Sheeta Crawford, who loves to share all things, especially on eschatology.
And which I continue to be a student of. Ta-da, my dear, and we pray you will be blessed by this meaty study over the next few weeks from the book of Jude. But first, we strongly sensed in our spirit to pray the prayer of salvation at the beginning of this teaching, just in case you have never personally invited Jesus into your heart. Well, now's your time. Jude can be a heavy book in some places, and we should be sure the Holy Spirit resides in you for a clearer comprehension, because I'm only a human vessel who desires to stir you up. It's the Holy Spirit who's the real teacher. So, dear, can you pray a few words at a time as myself and along with our listeners repeat after you? And, by the way, if you are praying this prayer for the first time, remember to pray from your heart.
Lord Jesus, I recognize you as the Savior of the world and repent for my sinful ways.
Lord Jesus, I recognize you as the Savior of the world and repent for my sinful ways.
I invite you, Lord Jesus, at this very moment to dwell within me, spirit, soul, and body.
I invite you, Lord Jesus, at this very moment to dwell within me, spirit, soul, and body.
Come into my heart and wash me clean.
Come into my heart and wash me clean.
I want to be your bride and live forever with you in your kingdom.
I want to be your bride and live forever with you in your kingdom.
I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
I ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now, if you truly meant that and from your heart, you will be included in his kingdom. And as it says in Luke 21, will escape the horrible judgment coming upon the earth very soon. So bathe yourself in his word, which will draw you closer to him.
And give you power over the devil.
Amen.
Okay, we have a nominee for the Supreme Court.
Yes, President Trump has picked a replacement for the retiring Anthony Kennedy. And he's a D.C. appellate court. Judge Kavanaugh is his name. He might have a little battle for Senate acceptance, but of the four finalists, he is the most centrist. And by the way, he will never overturn Roe versus Wade. And in fact, he approved the illegal minor, remember, who wanted an abortion, which she did obtain?
Well, you know, he helped Obamacare get passed.
That's
as
right.
Well.
Yeah. He really is a good old boy from Yale and taught at Harvard and the Jesuit-run Georgetown University. And he did say a few years ago that no sitting president should be indicted. And I think that was the plus sign for our president since, I mean, he is under investigation. Also, Justice Kennedy's son helped secure a $1 billion loan for Trump when he, actually his son was the real estate department head at the Deutsche Bank. And that was good because other banks shied away from Trump due to his financial history. So, favor for favor is a huge part of Trump's M.O. And one more thing. When John McCain, George Bush, John Kelly, also from Yale, and members of Skull and Bones, or I should say John Kerry, also members of Skull and Bones, say he was the best pick, I tend to be skeptical, to say the least.
And, you know, he will get approved.
Yes. And, again, I do not believe he'll overturn Roe versus Wade. And he does have some Masonic ties, and his wife is an Eastern Star. Meanwhile, Counselor Mueller has hired even more prosecutors. One wonders what he has up his sleeve. With that said, Peter Strzok is testifying this week.
And so is his lover, Lisa Page.
Yes, and we'll look at that next time. Now, North Korea is backpedaling from what our president said after his meeting with Kim in Singapore. One has to wonder just how much rulership Kim has, because when Secretary of State Pompeo returned to North Korea last week after hearing many negative reports, he was not even able to see Kim Jong-un, but rather his diplomats, who were not very friendly.
It looks like North Korea just wanted some recognition and praise.
And we gave it to him. Mm-hmm. With all their flags intertwined with ours, which many felt was unnecessary and uncomfortable at this juncture.
But sanctions will remain until an agreement can be made.
Yes, but will other countries adhere to the sanctions when we keep making so many enemies out of our allies? And most know the about change in North Korea was probably because China pressured them in response to our tariffs.
Revenge is no stranger to dictatorships.
Ah. Okay, Israel. Israel this week sent missiles flying into Iranian T-4 air base located in middle western Syria. Israel has said many times they will not allow Iran to set up shop in Syria for obvious reasons. Israel continues to closely watch its borders since more refugees are fleeing the now war-torn southwestern area of Syria. Israel has been sending them aid, and especially since they are camped close to the Golan, but simply cannot take them in, for Israel knows that disguised Hezbollah reside in the mix.
Sounds like us with the drug cartels and MS-13.
Yes, it does. Meanwhile, the Israeli peace agreement of Daniel 9:27, well, that appears to be in limbo right now.
Okay. We do welcome all of your comments and end time questions either by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. And we'll call you back usually within 24 hours. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are needed and very much appreciated. All correspondents will automatically add you to our newsletter list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our past radio and teaching letters, all archived for your learning pleasure.
And we really could use a blessing from you this month to help in our finances.
Okay, let's open to the book of Jude, who was also the Lord's brother.
Yes, he was. This was written approximately 80 A.D., and we call it the vestibule of the book of Revelation. It's a very timely message for today's generation, but unfortunately a neglected book, mostly because of the fallen angels of verses 6 and 7. But it is pertinent that these topics be discussed.
Especially in this our day.
Especially. And as you will see, and this is an important point, Jude at first was going to write on the subject of salvation, but was then compelled by the Holy Spirit to write about other certain things like apostasy.
Which is certainly at a peak in today's world.
Big time. Second Peter also warns of false teachers, but Jude deals more with their arrival. In this study, we are going to visit the beginning of time, some past judgments on Israel, and
some pretty strange beings.
Yes. And what really is amazing to me is Jude seems so nonchalant with this pretty heavy topic. Like as if it was just a well-known common thought to him and apparently to those who would read his letter.
Hey, you know, it does seem that way.
Just so matter of fact.
Yeah, but then Moses did too in Genesis 6.
For sure. Wonder why today the fallen angels and what they did is such a taboo subject for the church.
I'm sure the enemy has a lot to do with it.
For sure. But always keep Acts 17:11 as your prerequisite. It says to search out on your own what we tell you. We only want to stir you up to do your own homework. That's how you personally grow.
Yeah, you know, we're just like the fertilizer.
Nicely put, dear. You will notice that Jude opens the letter by giving assurances to the Christian and then also closes the letter by assuring the Christian.
Yeah, you know, I like that.
And we'll soon understand why he does that. So, let's get into it. Let's read verse 1.
Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ.
So, right away, Jude shows humility.
could have said half-brother of Jesus.
Right, he could have bragged, but chose not to. Interesting that neither Jude nor his brother James were part of the 12 apostles, because those of his family were not really believers until afterward. And I think there's a scripture where Jesus talks about that.
Yes, Luke 4, I think, is no prophet is accepted in his own hometown.
That's right. Okay, so Jude begins his letter by saying, first we answer God's call, because always one's choice to become justified. Then we proceed in the process of complete sanctification of spirit, soul, and body.
And we know that it's only through time spent in his word.
That's right. He says so in John 17:17.
Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth.
So, it's the word that sanctifies. Please never lose sight of that. Then, once completely sanctified, we are preserved in Jesus Christ forever. And Paul, too, confirms that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23.
Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right, blameless now in God's eyes. So, read verse 2.
Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you.
That was the formal, common greeting back then. You know, I wish we still said that today. Jude begins with mercy, fitting for the context of his letter.
Paul usually begins his letters with grace, I think.
Yes, and the difference between the two is grace is getting something you don't deserve, but mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Also, the word here for love is agape, the highest and best kind, as in God's love for us. When we pray, we should tell God that we agape him. I don't just say love anymore, because actually there are four different Greek words for love, and Greek was what the New Testament was originally written in.
Yeah, you know, it was the common language of the day, so all could read it.
Besides agape, another Greek word for love is, another Greek word for love is philia.
That's a close friendship.
Yes. And then there's eros, and that's the erotic or lustful kind of love. And then there's one more.
Storge.
Yes. It's a family love of acceptance. Ever hear the expression, you gotta love him, he's family? That's storge. But agape love is our identity badge. John 13:34 says we are to agape one another.
And that's a lot of love.
It is. Okay, verse 3.
Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints.
Interesting that Jude wanted us to know that, so we would understand that this letter was God's imperative will to redirect Jude's thoughts to the importance of contending earnestly for your faith. And who is Jude writing to?
The beloved.
True believers, which is why we thought we should pray the prayer of salvation at the beginning of this program. Regardless of your Christian denomination, you still must personally invite Jesus into your heart. That's what Scripture says in John 3.
And there is nothing more important than that.
And some might need to recommit to a deeper relationship, too. Okay, we've established the theme.
Contend for your biblical faith.
Yes. Stop ignoring obvious error when it is presented. And, in agape love, speak the truth, using the word as your compass. And we'll see Jude getting specific in the next verse.
So, first explain the difference between a false teacher and an apostate.
Okay. A false teacher teaches error, like the kingdom's already here, or there's no rapture, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit aren't for today, you know, that kind of stuff. But doesn't deny that Jesus is God or was born of a virgin or the Trinity.
so still maintains the fundamentals of our faith.
Yes. But an apostate would say, well, I'm not sure Jesus is actually God, but rather created to be called the Son of God, or like Jesus didn't pay for all your sins, just some of them, or there are other ways to heaven, or Jesus is the best or easiest way, but not the only way. That's a big one these days. Or might use the claim of receiving additional revelation that's not backed up by the Bible. Much more, but I think you get the idea. So, contend by being equipped when needed. And by the way, if you hide from the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, you are lacking in the equipment department, because faith is also acting on your belief. So you need more faith? We get our faith by studying His Word.
Romans 10:17.
Right. Now, this next verse defines apostasy and shows the purpose why Jude wrote this letter. Verse 4.
For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God of our Jesus Christ.
God always knew who they were, like Judas. Ungodly men who turn or pervert the grace of our God into lewdness. You know, justified unbridled lust and immorality. Like some say today, oh, God understands, this is the 21st century, besides, everyone's doing it. Mm-hmm. Like sex without marriage. It's fornication, and it's still a grievous sin. And there are certain men who have crept in and deny who Christ really is, like the tares who infiltrated the wheat in the parable of the sower.
Matthew 13.
That's right. And 2 Timothy 3:5 says some have the form of godliness but deny its power. In other words, they really don't believe it. They're not really saved. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you looking? Really looking? You know, there's a special crown waiting just for looking. 2 Timothy 3:8. Check it out. Okay, so actually Jude 5, 6, and 7 deals with a trio of different groups of people. Israel, the fallen angels, and Sodom and Gomorrah. And we'll get more into that next week, but I'll do have time just to do verse 5. Verse 5 reads as this, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. Do you remember the golden calf incident? Well, they worshipped it. And that was after God gave them the Ten Commandments that said, have no other gods, and in fact, don't even make an image or bow down to them, for I am a jealous God. But someone must have said, hey, let's do it. It's okay. So they followed. And even Aaron, Moses' brother, went along with it. They compromised their faith. Now, when Moses returned from the mountain after being up there for 40 days, God gave the order to the Levites and destroyed 3,000 men for that sin. God doesn't fool around. Judgment is coming. Be sure to pray to only God alone in the name of His Son, Jesus. What about you? Do you find yourself compromising His Word? Do you know someone who is living together outside of marriage, having sex? Do you at least lovingly speak truth to them? You know, even if you know that they won't pay any attention to you, and I know how that feels, you feel like you're just talking to the air, but God sees that you are at least trying. And by the way, he writes it all down in his book of remembrance. You might want to read that in Malachi 3:16. Every time you say something positive in the Lord, anything about the Lord, every time you witness to somebody, everything you do gets written down in this book of remembrance. And someday he'll open that book and show you, not that he needs to remember because he knows, but so that you can see. And then he rewards us in heaven. We'll be given crowns according to what we have done. All right. Well, we're going to be more into Jude next week. In fact, a few weeks. And you might also want to brush up and read Genesis 6, 1 through 12. All right? Now, I also want to say Matthew 24, 37 and 38 says this. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, just like today, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and then the rains came. So, how were those days in the days of Noah? Well, Genesis 6 says that all flesh had been corrupted, except Noah and his family. Now, it doesn't say sinless, because we know that's impossible. But I believe there's a deeper meaning to the word corrupted. It actually means undefiled. So something was really going on in those days, which is why God had to destroy them all. They had a bad seed. Really. And we're going to look into that next week. So, I pray that you've enjoyed going a little deeper into the Word, because He really does want us to. And actually, I know you know that. We are very fortunate to live in such a time as this, where you can re-listen to this program or any program over and over and over until it really sits well with you. We are blessed to be able to do that. And for these deep studies, it's imperative that you do. All these programs are archived on my webpage, shofarministries.net. On the left, just go radio podcasts. In fact, they're all labeled. You can know exactly what you're listening to. So, precious one, again, if you are listening out there and you still haven't made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, do it right now, because Christ suffered greatly and died on the cross for you. He paid your entire debt for your sins, all of it, not just part of it, all of it. And he said in Revelation 3:20, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door," and that's of your heart, by the way, "and he's knocking. Now, if you hear his voice," and I believe listening to this program, you're probably hearing his voice. He says, "Open the door, and I will come into you and will dine with you. And you with me." So, are you hearing his voice? Is he knocking right now? But remember, he will never crash it in. He'll never push the door down. It's always your move. Your move. So, you can be the beneficiary of this love story written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea over 2,000 years ago. Let me leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's shalom. So till next time, sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. Do you love Jerusalem? It's going to be your home someday. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. That's definitely a scripture to memorize. So, keep looking up. Have a safe week. Tell someone about Jesus Christ. And tune in next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.